and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What would cause a married couple to become advocates for children and families? Esther McDaniel and her husband, Pastor Brad, have been serving families by partnering with the State of Hawaii, Department of Human Services, Child Welfare Services, and Family Court since 1995. They've been foster parents, pastoral advisors, involved in recruitment of foster parents, facilitation of family meetings, otherwise known as Ohana conferences, as well as standing with children and families more broadly. Well, that's it, standing with children and families. There is something quite unique when someone stands not only for a cause, but stands for you. Stands for you in a moment of despair, in a moment of need, in a moment of pain or brokenness. And that's the beauty of the good news of Jesus Christ, is that Jesus Christ, our Lord, stands with us. And that's why we have the Good Life radio program. It's to lead you closer and closer to Jesus. For you to know, yes, that he does stand by you and with you because he loves you. He loves you so much, my friend, that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the grave, and the living Christ is here with us, with Esther, Suzanne, with me, and with you by the power of his Spirit, calling you to himself. Will you open your heart to Jesus? Will you receive him as your Savior and Lord? I believe the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart. And your heart, by God's grace, is being softened. Esther and Pastor Brad McDaniel are full-time missionaries with Harvest Family Life Ministries Hawaii, or HFLM, providing Bible-believing, godly homes for children who are abandoned, neglected, and abused. They're the parents of Michael and Mele, who also play an important role in the ministry. Esther, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Danny. This is so exciting.
Where did you grow up?
That's an interesting background about me. So I grew up partially in Southern California and also in Waihewa, the Whitmore Village area.
Okay, what was it like growing up there?
So I feel like the Lord, in looking back now, right, hindsight 2020, but all the things that have happened to me, I feel that at the time you don't realize what exactly God has in store for you, but he's building your purpose. So growing up partially in the mainland, on the continent, and then also always coming back home to Hawaii, my mom was born in Hana but raised in Kahului. My dad was born and raised in the Hilo area, actually Papekio. And then eventually, they got married and then had children. So my sisters are born in Maui, just like my mom. And then my brother was born at Waihewa General. My sister, who is now deceased, she was born at the Old Kaiser in Waikiki. So then here comes child number 5 and is born in, I'm going to say this out loud in public, Lancaster, California. So when you have, like, you come from a family of Maui girls and then Big Island boy, but raised in the Whitmore, Waihewa area, Kipapa camp previously. So it's a very interesting upbringing because you learn how to, I don't want to say survive. That sounds so so intense, but, you know, living in the, on the continent as a local family. So I would have parents and friends who would come over and ask if my parents actually spoke English, because our pidgin was so foreign to them in our home. So it was, you know, an interesting upbringing. And then going home, spending summers, I often spent summers at my auntie's and grandma's home in Whitmore, and then go back to California when school started. So it really was, I feel like I had a great childhood. My parents are believers. They love the Lord, and gave me such, excuse me, gave me such a good upbringing, such a solid foundation.
It sounds like you lived in quite literally two worlds.
Yes.
Didn't you, growing up?
Yes.
Well, Suzanne, she mentions Kaiser by Waikiki or Ala Moana, right?
I know it so that, well. That goes I gave back, birth to two children there. Way back.
You mentioned some names, and you're hitting, touching people at the heart because of these different places where you and your siblings were born and grew up. Who influenced you most, Esther, in your growing up years?
Most definitely my mom and my dad, who are now 83 and 85. Of course, my siblings, there's a pretty large gap. My closest sibling, but she's deceased, is 8 years older than me. Then it goes 9, 10, 11 years older than me. So I didn't really grow up too much with my sisters, more my brother. And so I feel like all of that upbringing prepared me for where I am today. Mm-hmm. And so the big thing is, I feel that don't discount, like some people might say, you know, what is Whitmore? What is Whitmore Village? What a Kipapa camp? You know, all of these, you know, basically come from a plantation family, and then also lived in Southern California, which is a really different environment, a whole other different feel as I was growing up. And we also attended all different types of churches. So we are, I was raised Pentecostal by background, but my parents were very much, my dad especially, really taught us to stay close to the Word. So the emphasis was on the truth of the Bible, which was huge for me because as a female minority growing up in Southern California, and then also having the experience of being, you know, local but not Hawaii born, and also being part Filipino but not speaking the language, there's always these different things that people will bring up to sort of categorize you. And so growing up with that and oftentimes feeling discounted, not really having a voice, it's very interesting to me to be named Esther, for to be able to advocate, speak on behalf of children and people who don't have a voice. And just even throughout my experience growing up and then in high school and in college, just all those different experiences preparing me for where I am today, but even for different experiences that I had throughout my growing up years.
How about your relationship? You mentioned the Word, growing up Pentecostal.
Yes.
Your relationship with Christ, when did that really galvanize?
So,
be galvanized?
You know, having basically like been going to church since in the womb, really. But my first recollection, this is interestingly enough, is at 5 years old. I always remember being in church, you know, as a toddler and as the preschool memories, but 5 years old in kindergarten Sunday school in Pomona, California. My Sunday school teacher, who I cannot remember her name, and there are other children there, and then we watched the film about the Lord, and actually it started off with these ants, and it was making the correlation that if you were to communicate with an ant, the best way would to become an ant. So they were making the storyline that, you know, God came as Jesus, as flesh and blood, in order to reach us, and what he did on the cross. And that just resonated with me at five. Even though I had grown up, you know, my parents always talked about the Lord, prayed for us, prayed with us, all of that. That's my earliest recollection of actually making a decision and trusting in the Lord Jesus as my Savior and Lord at five. So don't even think that little children cannot respond to that. You can definitely respond to the gospel.
What difference, Esther, has your relationship with Jesus made in your life?
Just a huge difference. Now, just about ready to turn 50, there's a lot to look back on too, not just the growing up years, but, you know, early marriage and then now having adult children. It's a different season. And I just think it gets hard not to be emotional because the love and the freedom in Christ. I wish that everybody could know that. And I think that's partially why in whether it's ministry, formal ministry, you know, speaking or preaching in a church or in the just the everyday life, you know, washing dishes and praying or helping your neighbor, whatever that is, that's what I want to exude is just the love of Christ. And certainly I am definitely a Christian under construction. Certainly not arrived. I think I'm looking forward to when we go to heaven and then, you know, we'll have perfect bodies and all of that. But for now, this knowing that he would never leave me nor forsake me, knowing that even when I feel discounted, that what was instilled in me is the truth. So when I feel like, oh, I don't really matter, or what am I saying, or I don't even know what's going on, and being put in positions where I'm speaking very seriously on behalf of someone else, for someone else's safety or someone else's freedom, been put in situations where, you know, I need to advocate for someone. So knowing that Christ advocates for me, and that it's not my own power, that's the relationship I have with Christ, is that I can just fully rely on him. And as much as I want to be perfect in performance or in my work, he provides so much freedom because I don't have to put it all on myself. His Holy Spirit works through me. And when I need forgiveness, that he's there. And so when I talk about the freedom that there is, it's just a much more peaceful and the good life. And knowing that it's not all about me.
Well, it's important to in life to know that there's someone there. That's why the Spirit of God, who the Lord our Lord Jesus sent, the one who comes alongside us, the Paraclete, and who is who stands with us. Well, today, here's a woman along with her husband, Pastor Brad. They stand with children. They stand with families. When we come back from our break, we'll hear more about their ministry, Harvest Family Life Ministries Hawaii, HFLM. HFLM encourages and equips the body of Christ to come alongside and support foster and adoptive families and to share the love of Jesus with the birth families in their time of need. How did God call them to this ministry? Well, how did God even bring Esther and Brad together? Well, Esther will share her side when we come back. And by the way, whenever the woman shares, it's always exciting to hear. Don't miss it. Just stay with us. We'll be right back.
Aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It's a blessing to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us in this very unique and special time with Esther McDaniel. I'm Danny Yamashiro with Suzanne Maurer. We're grateful you're with us today. You can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Esther, how did you meet Brad?
Well, my father was, we were living in Southern California, and my father came to work full-time with Waikolani Grace Chapel. It was a little church that my uncle and aunt founded on King Street. And my dad was working for Lockheed, I don't know if you know that aeronautical company, at that time. And he just walked away from his job and said, okay, I will come and help you pastor this church. And he's a Bible teacher specializing in eschatology. And so he just moved us just before my senior year. So I moved first and came to live with my auntie in Whitmore. And then was attending Hawaii Baptist Academy. So I was a brand new student as a senior coming into a private Christian school. So I had no friends coming in. I didn't know anybody. And then that's where I met my husband.
So at HBA?
Yes.
He was a student there?
Yes.
Oh. Well, how was that transition? I mean, to come your senior year...
It was a little bit rough in the beginning, and I didn't have my parents in the beginning. They sent me to live with my aunt, which, you know, I often had done that in the summer. My aunt, my uncle, my cousins, and it was a great time. But it's different when you go into school, you're a senior. And the first 2 weeks, I was sort of lost. I had a long commute, you know, coming from mm-hmm. Whitmore. It's a long commute to the Pali, and I had part of it was driving in, and then I caught two different buses to get to school and similar thing. But on the way home, it was completely busing it and then walking through the, you know, part of the plantation, the wow. old.
So you met Brad, and yes. did you start dating in high school, or did you remain in touch?
Yes, actually. We did. We started seeing each other, but my parents were very strict. So the only time I was allowed to really see him is if he came to my church or if I went to church with him. And maybe like Bible study or something. My parents really did not really did not believe in, just like casual dating. So mm-hmm. a lot of it was like things surrounding the church. And that was our life anyway, was Bible study. My dad taught Bible studies, all home Bible studies all around the island. And then, of course, we had regular church activities.
So how long till you got married? And what I'm really interested too is, you know, what caused you and Brad to become advocates for children and families?
Well, so we met in 1985, and we graduated from high school in 86. So by the time we were graduation and everything, we were already together. And at one point, he posed this question to me. He said, you know, if we're going to be together, he said, I'm called to be a pastor. And we were like barely 18, and this guy is telling me, so are you going to be willing to be a pastor's wife? And I was like, that's already my life. As much as I could have known that as being a pastor or a Bible teacher's daughter and basically growing up in the church. So it seemed like the natural thing of, yes, of course, you know. So then we were married in 1989. And it was very interesting because he ended up needing to have a kidney transplant in 1992. And then, so we went through a lot of that. And at that point, I had been working at the legislature. I worked for the former Representative Duke Bainham. Who was an absolute blessing to our lives, because what was going to happen, my husband started showing kidney failure signs, and we were so young. We were in our early 20s. And Duke was a doctor. And so when my job ended with the state, it was like, what was going to happen? Because my husband was about to need a kidney transplant. They originally told us it would probably not happen until he was older. But before the end of the year, it ended up being, oh no, you actually need this transplant within the next 6 months from the time that they told us. So it went from several years to just 6 months. We were new homeowners. We had just bought our first condo, like the first time we ever, now we had a mortgage, you know, just so many things that happened. And yet the Lord provided over and over and over. He was faithful. We were at Hawaii Kai Baptist Church at that point, and the elders came to us and said, what is your mortgage? What are your bills while you're away? Because he would need to have the transplant in San Francisco. And his brother was the donor. So it was an incredible journey of that part before we even had children. And because of the transplant, they asked us to wait at least a couple years because there's lots of medication and just adjusting when you have a transplant. So we naturally just was like, okay, we'll just put childbearing on hold. In the meantime, we had been in youth ministry, junior high and high school ministry. You know, even when before we were married, that was our interest. And then he was naturally moving towards being a youth pastor. So teens and, you know, children was kind of a natural thing. And I was more drawn to college age. That was kind of my comfort zone. Then the next thing you know, in 1995, I was about to give birth to our son, our first child. So I was about 8 months pregnant, I think, when my nephew came to live with us. So my sister in California asked us to hanai her third child, and it was just before his senior year. So see the parallels that the Lord does? Mm-hmm. Like, I had that to go through that transition and know what that's like to give up everything you know and go live with somebody different than your parents and then go into a new school setting. It was exactly what my nephew was going to have to do. So my sister Natalie was like very concerned that this child was not going to finish high school. There was a lot of violence in the area. His friends were getting killed on the way to school, that kind of thing. So she's like, I want to send him home to you. So she did something called a power of attorney that would allow me to register him, take him to the doctor, basically like be his legal guardian without adopting him. And it was such an experience because we had not parented before. We're about to become parents and now we have a teenager in our home. So here it was the Lord, like he was already showing us, okay, we're going to start with hanai. You guys are going to hanai your nephew. Then later on, I'm going to teach you how to foster through the state. And so from the get-go, he was already just grooming us and training us just through the work of the Holy Spirit and the circumstances in our lives for the ministry that we have today. And so that's what led us into advocating for young people.
Mm. When did the Lord lead you to start Harvest Family Life Ministries Hawaii.
Well, that was really another interesting thing because I worked for the local nonprofit that handled the licensing for foster care. And through that work, I was able to meet Bishop Aaron Blake and his wife, Mary. And they are incredible people. We call him like he's basically our papa. And he has trained us in all that we know about orphan care and foster care and adoption and leading the church to live out James 1:27. So Bishop Aaron and Mary are from Brownwood, Texas. And at the time, Governor Lingle's administration, there were some folks there that had recommended bringing Bishop Blake to Hawaii because he was working with the state of Texas child welfare system. And they have a disproportionality of African-American children in foster care there. We were having and still have a disproportionality of Native Hawaiian children entering foster care and growing up in foster care. So they thought, let's bring over Bishop Blake and see, because he's been able to be successful in increasing the number of foster homes and helping helping lessen that disproportionality, but tremendously through the church as a resource and living out, like I said, James 1:27. So they brought him here, and then I was able to meet him back then. And eventually funding and those kinds of technical things that keep a program going went away. But we, Brad and I, still felt strongly that we needed to have that model, that church-based child welfare answering the call to bring orphans and other children in need into our homes. And we had already done that. We didn't even know what we were doing the first time that we had children that came into our home through foster care. They were neighbors of ours. And it was just basically the Lord, again, the Lord's training. So I encourage people, if you ever feel like he's calling me to do this and I don't have the money, I don't have the means, I just don't even know how this is going to work, just raise your hand and say yes. Just say, yes, here I am, Lord. And then step by step, he'll show you.
Can you even say, I don't want to?
Yes. There are times that it's a struggle. Like, Lord, I don't really want to do this, but I feel that you're calling me to do this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your motto is save a child, change a destiny.
Yes.
Before we go to break, just give us a snapshot of what you mean by that.
Okay, I'm going to use an example of a boy that was in my home. He came in at 11 years old, and he came through foster care, but all of his siblings, except for the oldest one because she was 18, did not enter foster care, but all of them, through a series of events, entered the foster care system, and he was in my home, and we went ahead and hanaied his 18-year-old sister because where else would she go? And his other younger sister went to another family in our church. Again, that's the model of let's have folks in families in the church take in children from foster care, and they can still see each other as siblings in church and things like that. But his two older sisters, the other ones, they were sent to another emergency shelter type home. But Mika, he was 11 years old, going to middle school, and the first couple weeks he was like in an emergency shelter home separated from the siblings before coming to ours. And he recently was interviewed by Hawaii News Now, and they asked him, so what was it like? And he talked about, you know, going to cookouts and going to church and having family time and just different things and going to church. Like, he said that about three different times, and he said, but if it wasn't for me going into foster care and ending up at Auntie Esther and Uncle Brad's house, I think today I would be on drugs, probably like running the street. My life would be really different. And his mom even would say that had it not been for what happened with child welfare, who knows how their family would be today. Today they're all together. Mom is enjoying being grandma. Mika has, you know, all of them have gone on to be productive citizens. I just love them. And it's just been such a joy to see. So save a child and change a destiny. I mean, he's just said it right out.
Well, when we come back from our break, we'll hear more about that. Saving a child, changing a destiny. Esther and Brad McDaniel. And their organization, Harvest Family Life Ministries, Hawaii. You know, they have a heart for children. They have a heart for families. They have an organizational structure to support the work that they're doing in partnership with the state of Hawaii. They also have two children, Michael and Mele. Michael and Mele have played a pivotal role in what they've been able to do, and Esther will share some of that when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Amashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, Michael and Mele are the children of Brad and Esther McDaniel. They play a very pivotal part of the ministry, Harvest Family Life Ministries, Hawaii. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. Esther McDaniel is our guest today, and Suzanne Marr, my co-host, and we welcome you. We're grateful that you're with us. You can get this program in its entirety. It's a gift to you at thegoodlifehawaii.com. So, Michael and Mele, they played a pivotal role. How has God used them?
They have taught me so much as a mom. I was definitely not a perfect mom. I made a lot of mistakes, and they are so patient, too, with me as a mom. But they have been a tremendous example of how we shouldn't discount youth. And sometimes we say that, oh, you are, when we see a teenager, we might tell them something, or a young person, and say, well, you're the future. You're the future leader. And I mean, that's true, but I really, really believe in children and youth, young adults, that they're leaders now, that even as children, they can lead their community or be an example to the community. And for me, my children were really They were so helpful and welcoming when children would come in. They didn't always get along with the children that at different times, you know, personality conflicts, just the dynamics change every time someone else comes into your home. And that the fact that they had the heart to go with the flow. And sometimes they would be the one waiting, saying, when are we going to get more children? And when we started, we had a 2-bedroom apartment with 1 bathroom. So they still wanted more children to come over. They still wanted to have more kids stay. And we started with teens. And then when they became middle school and teenagers, then we started bringing in children that were newborns up to 4 years old, including most of the children that we've had are drug exposed or medically fragile due to something in utero, or maybe they were injured.
How do you balance, and I don't know if that's exactly the right way of saying it, balance or even guard your heart or protect your heart? And it sounds strange because should you have to guard your heart? Meaning you're going to become attached to these children.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And then they're going to go away.
Yes, definitely.
How do you process that?
You know, earlier you asked me about HFLM and our founders, you know, our Bishop Aaron and Mary Blake. I mentioned them too. This is an orphan care, you know, ministry. It is child welfare, you know, based within living out James 1:27. But even maybe if I could say more foundational to that, Harvest Family Life is a ministry of reconciliation. And when you come to understand, as much as we humanly possibly can, what Christ did on the cross to reconcile us unto God, and then we can be loving each other. So it seems so odd that why would you want to reconcile a child to an abusive parent or a parent that has harmed them? In some cases, it doesn't happen. The parent doesn't do what they need to do. But when you keep in mind that you're trying to help another family or walk alongside another family, not replace mom and dad for this child, but really keeping in mind that biblical principle of reconciliation and what it means. And yes, you do become attached. And many of the children, we stay in touch. And I was just sharing with Suzanne how one of our older Hanai sons, he was not in child welfare, but he ended up living with us for a couple years. He just was here and spent some time with us while he was visiting. He lives on the continent now. But really keeping in mind that our goal is to reunify and keep families together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would want for my children. So that's our hope in working with other children and families.
Have you seen in the reuniting, in the reconciliation, where an abusive parent or an abusive situation is remedied? There's healing that takes place when a child goes back?
Yes. And that is so humbling about this ministry, is to actually see families become whole again. Part of reconciliation in what we do at Harvest is we don't want things to be missing or things to be broken. Although out of brokenness comes, you know, the possibility of healing and the process of healing. But we have seen people through not just therapy, but even themselves coming to the place of realizing and humbling themselves to be able to earn trust back with their children, to be able to overcome whether those anger issues, violence, substance abuse, people can overcome that and bring their children back home. And it's amazing when you see that. And it's amazing to see it 15 years later when I look at Mika's family, and it's incredible going to a grandchild's baby's first birthday party and seeing everybody, you know, having such a wonderful family life.
What is your vision, Esther, you and Brad, for the future of HFLM?
Well, honestly, one of the things that we truly pray for and hope for is that there would be more families waiting for children who are in foster care or children who are waiting for adoption. We want to see more families than the list of children who are waiting. And some people go, how could we do that? But if you look at the different numbers, you know, 2,500 children in foster care in our state. I believe it's around 600, maybe just less than 600 licensed resource homes, which is the other name for a foster home or foster family. When you look at those numbers, it's like, now let's look at the church. And if each of our churches were to take one or two children and a family, you know, and then other families wrap around the family who's taken in the children, what a tremendous way to just diminish those numbers of children that are in need. I really believe that that can be done. And we've seen it in Brown County, where Bishop and Aaron and Mary started Harvest Family Life. They've actually been able to accomplish that in that particular county, and is the only county in the whole United States that has more families waiting for children than children who are waiting.
So we have a vision. Mm-hmm. You have clarity. You have an example, model to follow, yes. A very distinct model. What are the implications if more is not done about abandoned, neglected, and abused children?
Well, it really is, and we do see this happen. Children will, the terminology is they will age out of foster care. Mm-hmm. So imagine that you're at 18. I remember when I was 18, what I was doing and what I thought, you know, I could just take on the world, but I didn't have a traumatic background. You know, I had solid parents. I had a home that I could return to. If I go out and do my grand plan and it just failed, I could always go back home. Children who age out of foster care don't necessarily have that option. That's why we really, really encourage families, even after 18 and they're not no longer on the adoption list or adoptable list, they're now in independent living programs. We really encourage people to even hanai adult, young adults, kids that are legally, you know, adults. And that's the reality. I think it's something, I may not have this correct, but it's something like 25% immediately upon aging out of foster care, turning 18, 25% become homeless. Now, there are programs here, you know, like Halikipa, and there are other programs that help them prepare for independent living. But we all know what that's like when you're 19 and 20 and now, okay, I have my own place, I have my apartment, and maybe the programs help you get that. But it's very different to go that alone and not have some kind of mentoring or discipleship happening in your life.
You have been given the gift of being very articulate. And it's important for us to be in the dialogue, hearing, being educated. You're educating me and our listeners who may not, I certainly speak for myself, I'm not fully aware of not just what goes on in the social setting, but what the intricacies are of what takes place organizationally, legally, emotionally, psychologically. And the Lord has given you a grace of wisdom. And like you said earlier, Esther, He's been preparing you for this, it seems like, most of your life, for the ministry that you have. Absolutely. Their motto is Save a Child, Change a Destiny. You're listening to Esther McDaniel. She and her husband, Brad, are the founders, leaders of Harvest Family Life Ministries Hawaii. It's modeled after a program that's very successful on the mainland. When we come back from our break in our final segment, well, she has been so gracious and transparent in her sharing. But perhaps someone today is going through your own difficult moment, a challenge in and of itself that weighs heavy on you, that encompasses your thoughts, your feelings, and your own emotions. Well, Esther will share. I'll ask her how the Lord has helped her, even recently, through challenging times. I think her sharing an insight will be encouraging to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Esther McDaniel. Esther McDaniel is with us today. Oh, she is really an advocate. She stands by children and families, those that are in need, those that have felt and been abandoned or broken and feel disappointed and don't even have a sense of direction and a place to go. Or she and her husband, Brad, have opened up their home, and their children, Michael and Mele, have been so gracious as well. Today, an advocate. And today, sharing heart-to-heart with you here at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get this program as a gift to you as well at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Esther, in this, our closing segment, how has the Lord helped you recently through challenging times?
Immensely. He's just sustained me day by day. And trying not to be too emotional, but he has really uplifted my heart at times when it was just so broken. When you hear stories of how children are neglected and abused and the things that people can do to them, you may not be experiencing that trauma firsthand, but you have something that's called vicarious trauma. And I live with that every day. And the Holy Spirit is so, so good to just like cover that. So there's a part of how he holds my heart and my emotions while helping me to be calm while I listen to someone else's horrific story. And then also let the Holy Spirit do the reconciling. It's not my words. It's always his words. And that's really how he has sustained me, is reminding me that his loving kindness is everlasting for me, that he sees me, that he knows, and that I can completely trust him, and that I can just give everything to him. And then his peace, which truly is like, you can't explain how that peace just washes over you, and that everything's going to be more than just okay, that his promises are true. And one of my most favorite verses is in 1 Corinthians 2:9. I have it on, like, on my email response, but you know, it says that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, meaning that you can't even imagine what God has for you, the one who loves him, and that he's totally done that in my life. I never expected to live this good life. And some people go, it doesn't look that good to me. You got a house that needs a roof and whatever else, but that's not the stuff I'm talking about. I'm talking about what really is worth it in life, what really is of value, seeing other people come to the Lord, seeing people healed and transformed, and even in brokenness, really feeling that suffering and brokenness, it teaches you something about the compassionate heart of God and just draws you in even more to him.
Danny, she has her Bible right here, and she has it open. And she just shared from Corinthians and didn't even look at it. She carries it with her, but she knows it in her heart.
You mentioned when someone, let's just, it's a hypothetical, imagine someone saying, well, it doesn't look like, as I'm just following what you just said, the good life. Esther, well, it doesn't look like it. You mentioned your roof. I don't know what the roof is like, but okay, so you can fill us in on it if you want, but the thing is, on the external thing,
right,
a material thing,
right,
may not be all that, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're living for something else, something different that seems to really fulfill you and give you purpose and meaning.
Yes, absolutely.
Take us deeper on that, because well, it may be striking to someone who is, and we've all been there. We all mm-hmm. experience and know what that's like. If I just get this new X, whatever X is for you, then I'll feel happy. I'll feel content. I'll feel satisfied. You're a little different. What, in what way?
Well, definitely. It's not about the stuff. And when I was referring to, like, yeah, I get the kind old school corrugated tin roof, no more even the carpentry inside. It's like they just laid it on top. I'm so grateful for my home, you know, that it's this life of gratitude and a life of peace and love and joy. And there's no way that I could have that if I look at my stuff and think, there's no way I could measure to that. We're missionaries. You raise your own support. There's times when it's like, oh, okay, well, I don't, like, people talk about pay stubs or something. That may not necessarily be the case for me. It really is a walk of faith. But the intangible blessings that it's difficult to express in words what that's like to literally, and it's not an exaggeration. There are times when I go, Lord, you're just blowing my mind, because it's like every day we are seeing miracles. So why would I want to trade stuff and just live for those things that does not provide the kind of peace and love and joy that in following Jesus and leaving things up to him, not my plans, which is really easy for me to take control, but to give it all up to him, to surrender. That's the good life. That's that really, truly Holy Spirit good life.
And Danny, I wished you were here, excuse me, but to see, he just shines through her beautifully. Hmm. He really does.
Well, it radiates through the airwaves
as well.
It
does, yes.
And by the way, when you're listening and you're hearing Suzanne say, I wish you were there, it's because Suzanne and Esther are there in Honolulu, and I'm here broadcasting from Boston. So just to give you some context.
Yes.
But in these closing moments, Esther, a parting shot to someone who's going through their own challenge right now, a word of encouragement to them from the Lord, and then a time of prayer. We've got about 2 minutes.
Yes. Today, if you are feeling like you don't matter, that your voice or your thoughts don't matter, if you feel that everything is just coming down on you and you just don't have an answer, or things are just falling apart, or maybe you just have so much sorrow from grief and loss, I just want to tell you that the Lord Jesus and His Holy Spirit that truly can comfort you, that you are loved and that He has given His life for you in order to have that peace and freedom and that joy. And regardless if it's something that you did or maybe someone else has sinned against you, that there is healing and that there is hope and always hope in Jesus, that He's never left you. He's not forsaken you. And there are many people, including myself, who have doubted my purpose in life. And yet there is a calling. Jesus does have a calling on you, and there is hope to live that quote-unquote good life always in the name of Jesus.
Lead us in a prayer.
Yes. Dear Abba, Father God, you're such a good, good Father. And so that's why we get to call you Abba. And for all the folks out there who maybe they feel fatherless, or they just feel like they have been left behind or they're outcasted, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit right now would just overcome that barrier or overcome that feeling or that sorrow, Lord, and bring the comforter to them. And Lord, I just pray that your love would just pour out upon them and bring healing into their heart, into that brokenness, and help them, Lord, to see the joy that you have, the freedom that you have to offer them. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you and we ask you for forgiveness too, Lord. If there's things that are in between you and I, Lord, I just pray that you would just overcome by the power and the blood of Jesus to wash away my sin. And for those out there who may be struggling with sin, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name and with the blood of Jesus that they would call out to you and know that you are the deliverer, that you are the Savior and the Lord. And we love you, Jesus, and we thank you so much, so, so much for your tender, loving kindness upon us. And Lord, we ask a blessing on Danny and Suzanne and for this broadcast and all the broadcasts to go out in your name. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Esther. I'm very grateful for you. Hope-filled words from Esther McDaniel. My friend, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, I do believe this is the perfect moment to open your heart to the Lord Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. I've got a video set up for you there. Click Get to Know Jesus. And if you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. I want to thank you in advance. Psalm 68, 5 and 6. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Esther McDaniel. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.